Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business Show. We do this show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And I love having you as listeners. This show has a big following. Got a great guest tonight. I'm pretty excited about this. And we bring a great guest on every Tuesday night. And if you can't listen live, as I always say, just go to www.blogtalkradio.com, punch in the Gregory Crawford on Sports Business Show. We'll get every single show that we've ever done. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that at WC Hoops. But as I said, we have a very special guest tonight. Let's get to him right now. He is Marco Azurdia. He is the commissioner of the NWAC Conference, which is comprised of great community colleges in three different states, predominantly in Washington and Oregon, but also Idaho. It's a great league. It's got fantastic coaches. It's got underrated student athletes, and it's a lot of fun to watch everything in it, Marco. And I imagine you really enjoy being the commissioner.
Yeah, I really do, Greg. It's been a great 5 years, and as the commissioner or the executive director, and was in the NWAC prior to that when I coached at Wenatchee Valley College. So I have some longstanding ties with the NWAC, and really enjoy the opportunity that I've had these last 5 years.
Speaking of enjoying, Marco, tell everybody, what's the biggest enjoyment or maybe one or two of your job involving the NWAC?
I think when, you know, I see student athletes succeed in tough situations, many of our student athletes have to work as well as go to school. And when they're having to do those on top of competing and having a balanced family, when you see student athletes making the right decision, competing hard on the floor or in the field and doing as well as they can in school, and seeing them rejoice in their success with their teammates, you know, it makes it all worthwhile, you know, just try and provide the experience for those kids. And it may be their last opportunity, or it may be a step along the way. And so those are some pretty exciting times.
Flip side of that, what's maybe one or two of the biggest challenges for you on a daily, weekly basis?
I think probably, Greg, I would say, you know, trying to get all 36 institutions going in the same direction at the same time, you know, wanting to elevate the league while at the same time elevating the local community college, and getting all of us to see how that works together and how that makes everybody better in terms of elevating our product and the product at the local community colleges. So you know, it's like herding cats, but I think everybody has their right intention, and it's just one of those things that you just continually work on, because it's a never-ending process.
And I personally know you and know that you love your job, but Mark, I think our listeners, we have a huge audience tonight, would kind of like to know, you know, not by name, but who exactly are your bosses? Who do you go to when you have issues? And tell us a little bit about the structure of the NWAC, because I can't say it enough. It's my favorite league. I'm a product of the Northwest Conference. I'm not a product of the NWAC, but yet it's become my favorite sports league. I love it. And tell us about the process on what I just mentioned.
Yeah, I answer to a board, an executive board, that is made up of one college president from the state of Oregon, one college president from the state of Washington, and then athletic commissioners, two from each of our four regions, because we're broken up into four regions. And then there's one vice president of student services from Washington and one vice president of student services from Oregon. So there's a board of approximately 12 that I answer to, as well as I see the athletic directors as people I oftentimes answer to, as well as work alongside and work along for, and oftentimes lead. So it, that part of it is kind of a mixture depending on the situation and depending on where we're going. But yeah, it's an executive board of 12, and we have 36 community colleges that each have a female and male commissioner representing the male and female sport teams. And that commission group of 76 meet twice a year to review codes and proposals that are going forward to be instituted in the NWAC, whether that be for team sports or a policy or procedure in terms of governance. And they review those proposals in February with discussion in their regions throughout the remainder of the winter and early spring, and then vote on those proposals the first week in June. So it's pretty wide ranging, the people that I answer to, and people that are involved with the governance of the NWAC. But it's a good structure. We're always looking, Greg, to make it better. And the good thing is you work with people who care about student athletes. And you know, our philosophy coming in was that we really wanted to create great experiences for these student athletes, and we wanted to give more than what's expected. And so far, I think in the 5 years, we continue to move that direction, and I think people are pleased with the direction we've been going.
You know, this is usually a question that's asked at the end of the program, but I'm going to ask it right now. What's kind of a vision that you have that isn't in place right now in the NWAC, and you do an outstanding job, and I think many people would validate that comment, that work with you, work around you, work for you. But what's the kind of your vision, something that you'd really like to get out there that maybe isn't there right now? And I hats off to all the coaches that I do shows with, because Cliff Wagner always says that it makes a difference in attracting fans, and that's why I do it and everything. But obviously the NWAC needs more attention, and hopefully it's going to go that way very soon.
Yeah, you know, we are looking to – I mentioned it maybe a little bit earlier, but, you know, we really have been structuring ourselves and strategizing to just elevate our product, elevate our league in terms of – our conference and the games that are played and the competition that goes on. We don't have the inherent fan base that high schools have, and we don't nearly have the financial support that the four-year institutions have. So we really have been trying to stream many of our events, and have seen just a real upswing in people watching our events, whether live or as we stream the events. And so for us, we continually want to elevate what we're doing and to put out a good product, and so that we have the opportunity to get our product out. And we understand, you know, the situation we're in, and so we're just trying to make it better for everybody, so that people, when they do watch our product, go, you know what, that's pretty good basketball, it's pretty good softball, whatever the sport is, because we have some pretty significant, pretty outstanding athletes, student athletes that compete in the NWAC.
Shame on me, Marco, but, you know, I've always kind of been a professional wrestling fan. I know I apologize right now, and often you'll see a match where the announcers say this could be a main event, you know, in New York City, Madison Square Garden, anywhere in the world. What's the main event for the NWAC? What is the main event?
Well, I think the main event for the NWAC would be the different championships that our student athletes compete in. For me to say that, oh, the softball is much more important than baseball, you know, that's not the case. But, you know, our championship events, our basketball championship event is one of a kind in terms of the style and quality of play. Baseball does a great job. If people look at our website, they'll see a couple of our former student athletes who they made their debut in major leagues just this past week. And so, you know, I guess you could say basketball is probably the football of our conference, but all of our championship events and the sports that we offer are pretty important, and there are some significant players that compete in those championships.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about the athletes, but coaching those athletes is a high-quality group of women and men. And Marco, what's your personal thoughts on why so many of these coaches, they could coach on any level, but they continue to coach at a community college, do a great job, have passion for years? There's so many of those people involved with the NWAC, and then you get a great new breed of coaches. But those coaches that are historic in the league, to me, are really special people.
Yeah, they are, Greg. I think they're unique people because community college athletics is unlike the 4 years in high school and unlike the four-year level, in that you're recruiting every year, oftentimes to replace half of the kids that you recruited two years earlier. And so there's this constant need to recruit, and oftentimes a lot more, where at other levels, you know, I maybe only have to fill two or three spots, but at our level, you're refilling a lot. And I think the other thing, for a lot of our coaches that have been around for a long time, they are very confident in their own skin. They know that the level that they are at, that it is good for them, and that they are making a significant impact on our young people. You know, our demographic is so different. We can have 18-year-old freshmen, and we can have a 35-year-old freshman, because community college is an open door policy in terms of students and student athletes. And so, you know, to be have that type of passion, I think at our level, our coaches, they're involved from the ground floor up. They're involved from the recruiting to the academic side, to the study table, to fundraising. You know, 90% of what our people do, I think, is very relational and much more important than the 10% of the X's and O's. And I think it takes a special person to do that. And I think those that have been successful for a long time in the NWAC or at the two-year level at other conferences, it's because they're special people, because you got to roll your sleeves up and you got to be involved in everything. And you don't have the luxury of having five or six assistant coaches doing everything for you. And as I said, you know, you're recruiting every year to replace probably, you know, just as basketball, because I'm a former coach, you're looking to recruit anywhere from five to seven kids every year. But it's great when you see our kids have success. And as a coach, you know, it makes you feel good that it's not just about what happens in athletics, but it's a whole lot more that happens outside athletics.
Marco, we have people, and this is a real tribute to the NWAC and the fact that they knew that you were coming on. We got people listening in 13 countries tonight on this program.
Oh, wow.
So you check that. And all around the United States, and probably a lot of those people didn't realize that Umpqua Community College is a member of the NWAC, where a terrible tragedy happened this year and in the school year, and it was just completed, and you know, that was a challenging time, and the whole league rallied around Umpqua, and it brought tears to many people's eyes. Very tough situation, and comment on that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely a tough situation. Oftentimes you think about, as this stuff happens across the country, you think it's never going to happen where you're at or never happened at a school that you have some involvement in. And unfortunately, that took place this year at Umpqua Community College in the early fall. And many of the female basketball players, many of the volleyball players, and they were involved in the situation. And one student athlete who was a basketball player on the men's team lost his life in trying to protect somebody else who was involved in that as well. And so very tough times, but the NWAC, you know, family, I think oftentimes is a word that's overused, but there's something unique about this conference and the fact that people legitimately care for each other. They love to compete against each other, but they also keep it in perspective. And something like this makes you keep it in perspective. And you know, the conference rallied around Umpqua. People wore ribbons on our banners. We put a ribbon with UCC on all of our banners and our programs to just acknowledge and support the Umpqua family. And you know, a very difficult tragedy. And you know, I think the school continues to move forward and make sure that we never lose perspective in terms of what's really important.
Yeah, and the whole league did a fabulous job on it. And of course, people move on, but yet on the other hand, they never forget. And I don't think they'll ever forget Umpqua and how they got through that and did a terrific job. In my mind, on just a miserable, tragic, horrible situation. Marco, the impact of women's athletics just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's terrific, and the women athletes that play in the NWAC are fabulous. They love playing. You can see the enthusiasm on their faces all the time. One of the challenges of women's athletics, and it's discussed every year, is sometimes there isn't the women coaches that are involved, but you have a great amount of women's coaches, women that coach, and it's always room for more in that area.
Yeah, there always is. You know, I think sometimes regarding the women coaches is, it's just difficult with families, raising of children and those type of things. And so I think that becomes something that they, you know, there's an obstacle there. But we do have some really fabulous women coaches in the NWAC that provide, I think, a good role model for female student athletes. And so, yeah, that's just a constant that you have to deal with in a conference or at a school, trying to find, you know, the right coach, whether it's female or male, that's going to be somebody you can, you know, put in charge of student athletes and to lead them. And so, yeah, it is a difficulty, but I think a lot of times it really has to revolve around the balance of family and the job.
You made, not you, but the league, and you lead the league in that regard. And as you mentioned, have a great board to work with. But you made some major changes to basketball last year in the postseason tournament and the structure of it. Were you pleased with that? Is that going to continue? Is basketball... and let's face it, in my mind, this is me saying it, basketball in almost every league, basketball and football drive the bus in some form, but is it something you always have to tweak, basketball and any sport for that matter?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know if you're always looking to tweak, but I think you're always looking to try to make things better. And so what we did this year, you know, the past 16 years, 15 years, we had been down in the Tri-Cities with 16 men's teams and 16 women teams playing at one site on two courts. And it was a unique experience. When I coached in that environment. And so that was great. But the reality is you want to make sure that the kids are playing in a great atmosphere. And you can be in a 7,000-seat building, but if you don't have enough people in the building, it doesn't feel like you're playing in front of 7,000. And so we made a conscious effort 2 years ago to really take a look at how do we create an environment that's going to be good for our student athletes. And so this past year, we took the same amount of teams, but the first round were played at regional sites. The number one and number two seeds in each of our four regions hosted a three and a four from across region. And then the winners went on to play at Everett Community College. And the atmosphere was great. The games were great. I would encourage people to get on our website and look at some of those games, because there were some barn burners. And I just really appreciated, one of the coaches said to me afterwards, and he has been in the tournament for probably the last 10 years and has won multiple titles, just said, you know what, I couldn't even sit down because I felt the crowd was right on my back, just right there. And I thought, well, that's the environment we want to play in. You want to play a championship, your championships in an environment where there are a lot of people, when it's loud, and that's what makes it so exciting. And so we did that this year. We reviewed it, and it looks like we're going to make a slight change to that, in that all of the games are going to be held at Everett Community College. And how it's going to break down, Greg, is that I think it's March 9th through the 12th, Thursday through Sunday. We'll play at Everett, and you'll go Sweet 16. The women will do Sweet 16 and Elite 8, and then the guys will follow up. Same thing. We'll take a week off and then come back the following weekend and do a Final Four and have our All-Star games in that last weekend. So that came from a recommendation from the sports committee, the basketball sports committees, and the board listened to the chairs of both of those committees and voted early this month to make that change. So, you know, we're looking to always make things better. And anytime you're looking to do things, you know, it's like being a referee. Some people see it one way, other people see it the other way. But the reality is we're just trying to make it better for our student athletes. So we're excited about the new opportunity that this is going to provide and some other tweaks that we are working on in terms of actually having a pre-tournament show to talk about the different brackets that are going to be, as they're filled out, in terms of who's going to be playing who. So adding another excitement, another element to the basketball championship tournament.
Sounds great and something really to look forward to. You know, sticking with basketball, and then I'll have a final question for you, Marco, that'll be a good one. The $6 million question, because you're worth $6 million, not $5. So anyway, but you played, and of course, this suggestion did come from me, but, you know, maybe a lot of other people had the same thing. I loved it when you played on Martin Luther King Day this last year. Is that going to happen again this year?
You know, it just depends on the region's schedule. I know some of the regions try to keep that date open, as an example, in the East, because travel in the winter can be kind of crazy. So that day sometimes stays open. If there is a makeup game that maybe didn't get played the first round of the league because of weather, I believe in the South and the West, they have 9 and 8 teams in their region often play on Martin Luther King Day. And so that actually has come up as a discussion. Once again, Greg, some people see it one way, other people see it another way. And I think what a great tribute in that you have young people who are educated competing, and I think that honors the legacy of Dr. King.
Absolutely. Final question for you is the $6 million question. No matter what it is, sport or anything, everybody loves to see the commish. How do you balance that with so many sports and a pretty big footprint of the NWAC that extends from the coast, southern coast of the state of Oregon all the way into Idaho? How do you balance getting around and seeing things, and people want to see the commish?
Well, I think sometimes they want to see me, and other times they probably see me and know something, there might be an issue. So, you know, I guess once again, it just depends. But I've tried to make it one of my priorities, Greg, to get out and to be seen at different contests. I think it's important for me to ask athletic directors, hey, we'd like you to do this, this, and this. And yet me not have any idea of actually what goes on that campus. I mean, I can't in good faith really ask these people to do stuff if I don't really try to invest and find out what their culture is like at their institution. And once I find that out, then that helps me maybe handle situations a certain way. I can understand where people are coming from, because even though we're in the same conference, there are so many differences between the 36 schools. And I try to get to every championship. In fact, even this year, what we just talked about it in our strategic planning meeting last week with our staff, that I need to get out even more during the year and get on campus, talk with coaches, talk with ADs, find out what they're interested in terms of the conference. So it's not just, oh, hey, here's the commissioner and this is the direction he wants to go. No, I need to hear from the people, because they're the experts. They're dealing with student athletes on a daily basis. And so our plan is this year to be even more on the road, visiting college campuses within our conference, so that we can better serve students, because that's the bottom line. It's about serving students and creating great environment and opportunities for them.
Great job tonight, Marco Azurdia. And a lot more people know a lot more about the NWAC because of this program tonight, because we got listeners all around, and people need to take advantage of the great schools, the 36 that make up the NWAC. Thanks for coming on. We'll have you on again in the fall. How's that sound? And when we're into the sports season, and we'll update a lot of things and have a lot more different type questions for you.
I look forward to it, and thank you for the opportunity to be on your show. Thank you for the opportunity you provide our coaches throughout the year to be on your show, and we appreciate your efforts in promoting our league. And I just have a question for you, because I'm a diehard, grew-up professional wrestling fan in the Bay Area. And so my one question for you, Greg, is who's your favorite wrestler of all time?
Oh, I think it's probably got to be Ric Flair.
Woo!
Absolutely. One of these days, I'll have to tell you some stories. I met some of those guys in the Bay Area through a community college athletic event. So one of these days, we'll have to talk about some of those guys.
Oh, that'll be great. And we'll take it out with that. Great job tonight, Marco. Keep up the wonderful work with the NWAC. You got a great staff. You got a great group of student athletes. You got a great group of coaches, great group of ADs, and a wonderful group of presidents. And they need to give you a raise. Good night.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Appreciate the opportunity. Good night.
You betcha. That's Marco Azurdia, the commissioner of the NWAC. Great league in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. Good night, everyone. And don't forget to make all your free throws.